Feel the difference. Still dry, though. Then low to mid-90s Sunday, mid-90s on Monday and Tuesday, dry. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. A triple shooting early Monday morning in Montgomery is now under investigation. Montgomery police found a man with a life-threatening gunshot wound in the 3600 block of Debbie Drive. Two other men showed up at the hospital with non-life-threatening gunshot wounds. No arrests have been made. Butler County School Superintendent Dr. John Stricker is leaving for another job. Stricker was unanimously named the new superintendent for Jackson County, Mississippi. He was one of 10 finalists for the position. Stricker has served as the Butler County School Superintendent for the last 2 years. And Kitty Seal, the founding artistic director of the Alabama Dance Theater, has died. She founded this organization back in 1986. Funeral arrangements have not been announced. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
U.S. intelligence indicates the unprecedented attack on Saudi oil fields originated from Iran, using a combination of low-altitude cruise missiles and drones to evade radar.
The Minneapolis Police Department says there have been 240 robberies and one downtown precinct alone. It's within the context of a shortage of police officers in Minneapolis.
40-year-old California man died from what health officials there called severe pulmonary injury. It's the seventh death, together with hundreds of illnesses, recently linked to vaping.
Drivers may begin to notice higher prices at the pump after the attack on Saudi oil fields disrupted global supply. Prices could climb anywhere from 10 cents to 25 cents a gallon over the next few weeks.
Amazon Career Day held in six cities. Amazon's goal, hire 30,000 employees by early next year.
Seinfeld, one of the most popular sitcoms in TV history, is heading to Netflix in 2021.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday, third Wednesday of the month. And you know what that means. That means the mayor of our great fair city, Mayor Todd Strange, is in the house.
Great to be in the house.
Is this our last one as mayor?
No, sirree. We got, let's see. We've got at least October, and if you want to do it before the 12th in November, you can have two shots at me.
I like that. No shots here. Well, first, tell me what did you think about the election, and tell me about the John Merrill getting in contact with you.
Well, obviously, the people spoke. Obviously, the leader in the clubhouse was Stephen Reed with David Woods. 42-24, I think, was the number. And, you know, we're going to have a runoff. That's the election process. There were a number of calls to the Secretary of State as well as to the clerk. It's a municipal election, but in 2000 and maybe five, when I was chairman of the county commission, we bought new election machines. And rather than the city and the county buying them, the county bought them. And for 15, 24 years now, or whatever, 15, 16 years, five or so elections, we have been contracting with the election center to run the elections. City elections contracted with to run them. There were some issues that came up. There are always issues that come up in election. Some of the issues was either a malfunction or the flash drives got pulled out too quickly, so they had to redo that. They had to get a court order to open them. Some of the election centers closed, and then rather than waiting for the law enforcement to pick the results up and have that chain of custody, they brought them down. Some of them didn't put on the wall or on the glass door what the elections were. Those are training issues and just supervision issues, and we've met with them relative to that as well.
When you say met with them, met with Parker?
Yeah, Darryl Parker.
How was he receptive?
Sure, because we all know that there were some issues that didn't work. From our perspective, we didn't have enough officers that were out there picking up. We had six officers. We probably need to have 16 or 20 officers. The sheriff in that election had some officers because they had a county election. And those are things that we'll correct next time. There was an issue of a different protocol because from the last municipal election, which was in 15, I guess, they've gotten brand new machines. They've gone to a model 200, which the protocol is different than on the 100. And, you know, we don't conduct elections but once every 4 years. So all of that really been worked out. Now, as far as John Merrill, he had a group of, I don't know, 15 or 20 calls relative to certain.
So were you getting calls directly?
I did not personally.
Okay.
But the city clerk, which would do, you know, normally the mayor wouldn't be involved in an election because generally your name's on the ballot.
Right.
But in this particular case, Charlie Jenright and Todd Strange wasn't on the ballot. So we were able to help Brenda with that process. The Secretary of State called me and we had a conversation. He had some concerns, and as I've just articulated, there were some loose ends that needed to be tightened up. He wanted to have opportunity to observe. You know, far be it from me to tell the Secretary of State, who's the chief election official in the state, that they weren't welcome to come observe, because, you know, I'm not going to tell him that. So I assume he is. I had one other conversation with him in that regard. So that's kind of where we are. But in my heart of hearts, I think every vote that was cast for a particular candidate got credited to that particular candidate.
There were a lot of information out about it. I was kind of surprised at Darryl Parker's response to John's request to be a part of this, and he basically in an interview said, I'm not sure if he has the right to do that, but
and he may not from a law standpoint, but he is the chief election official, and I think you know, if I really, Dan, you're asking penetrating questions. If I was the probate judge and it was my organization that's running an election that I'm involved in, now it's easy to recuse yourself, and he's done that. We've had absolutely no conversation with Stephen Reed. I would want third-party observation just to erase any doubt that's out there.
That's what my problem is that...
But I've not spoken to him about that.
When Darryl came out, maybe you can find that piece, is the Thursday...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
See if you can find that piece. I guess it would be the 5th. I was just kind of surprised that he approached it that way. And he said, no, we had tested the ballots. We had John Merrill and that next Monday. And he said, well, they did test the machines, but they tested them at the election center, not at the precinct.
Yeah, the contract that we signed, which is about a $380,000 contract, is not chump change. The contract itself says that they will be testing at the election center level and at the precinct level. the operative word is, what's testing mean? In their view, testing means that you had the machine tested at the election center. It gets not stamped, but it gets seals on it. Then when it gets to the precinct, it used to be that it was zeroed out because the seal wasn't broken to be able to do that. In this new machine, you got to break the seal to get a zero out. And so that wasn't done, as I understand it. And so people are saying the protocols were different this time than last time. And I think the answer is yes, they were. But if you hear what the election center would say, is you can't do it the way it used to be done. And so the conversation today is, how can we in fact test at the precinct level and not create all the ESS was in a meeting that I was at this week, kind of taking us through the technical side of the equation. We do not have a resolution
yet.
We do not have a resolution today. I told him we'd get back to them by the first of next week.
You mentioned the contract, and an attorney brought this up to me. Have you gone over the contract, and do you think the probate office fulfilled their relationship with the contract?
I do think they have fulfilled the spirit of it. Whether they fulfilled the technical side of it, I don't know. We did talk in terms of perhaps they owe us some money back, but you know, I don't know. Again, from their perspective, they're saying that they did an operational test, which means they zeroed out. They made sure that there was no votes in the machine when the first voter came.
Were the machines that were used for the city election, had they been used in any other previous election?
I think they had been used one other time, maybe two other times, but not in the last city, not in the last city election.
So that would have been the 2018
city election. Would have been in 15.
No, the last 2018 election.
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, I guess so.
I wonder how they did it then.
I can't answer that one. I think. Well, again,
don't you know that
again, that's the county? That's that would have been with the county,
right.
And with the state. And so, from that standpoint, my thought is that they did no different this time than they did last time. But I can't tell you that for sure.
Well, the interesting thing is, I know people that were involved in the 2018 election in ballot security, and one of the things that someone said to me is that boxes were coming in with no tape on them at all.
So that in 18?
In the city election. In 18, they were coming in with it. In other words, it was done correctly at the precinct level. Tape was put on them. They were escorted to the election center, and they were handed off.
Well, I think that happened. I don't know about this tape issue.
That was 2018. 2019, they were coming in, no police, this. There was one police officer down there, and he didn't seem to know what was going on.
Well, we had several sheriff's deputies, maybe 12, if not more, sheriff deputies collecting.
But that was from District 74.
Six police officers. Some of the cases when the police officer got there at 7 or a little after, they were not ready to be transported. So rather than waiting at that particular precinct, they went to the next one and got that and came back. And at least one instance, they didn't wait. We asked about that, and we were told that the owner of the facility that had made the facility available to the election center kicked him out at 7. I can't imagine somebody kicking the election official out, and that may have been just a figure of speech, but they didn't want to wait 10 or 15 minutes for the police officers to get there. We're going to have more police officers this time.
Well, some of these ballots didn't make it down to election center until 8:30.
Oh, no, they were there before 8:30. They were there before 8:30. I don't know how early, because I got there at 8:30, and to my knowledge, all the ballots were in the house. Whether they were in the counting room or not, I don't know. Now, I will also tell you, at the election center, the fact that we were having a municipal election and a district election at the same time caused some confusion, and then it overtaxed the counting system, because you either had to do all the the election 74 or all of the municipal election. But as I understand it, they had done the 74, but because they were in the process of running the municipal election, they couldn't stop and announce the 74, because the 74 didn't get announced till after the municipal
election. So you went down to the election center?
Brenda Blalock, Charlie Jenright, and I were having dinner together, and she called and said, would you come down here? I need some help.
I need help. Help.
So we did go down.
So you and Charlie went down there, and then describe what happened at that point.
Well, I went into the collection center because, frankly, that's the first time I'd ever been in there.
Really?
Yeah, first
time. It's a pretty manly place.
Well, I've been in the election center. I'm talking about where they were plugging in
the flash drive.
Yeah, yeah. The open space where the media was and any other interested party, there was a space there. I think we're going to do that a little different, too, because there were a lot of people.
Where the total board is.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Now, there wasn't a total board in the election counting room. That was one of my issues. They said, well, what's the running total? Well, I don't know. We'll have to go look. But there were a lot of people in the election center, people that perhaps shouldn't have been close to where they were counting the votes. So we're going to, if we can
give
make
an
it,
example of what you were just
we won't
heard.
Go there. if we can
any
make
family
it
members
work,
of?
If we can make it work, we're going to project the election results at City Hall. It's a city election. We ought to do it at City Hall. So we
point blank question, was Joe Reed there?
I'm not going to go anywhere that
that's just a yes or no answer.
I'm not going to get into hypotheticals or
that's not hypothetical. That's not a hypothetical.
Well, anybody is welcome in the election center. Anybody is welcome in the election center to view the results.
I'll take that as a yes. News on 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back with Mayor Todd Strange right after this.
Dan Morris Show. He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Montgomery area helpwanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, 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 ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Quiet, smooth ride, spacious cabin, impressive technology, and plenty of storage. That's the new 2019 Ram truck at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. I'm Dick Brubaker, and this month only during Ram Power Days, you can save over $10,000 on select new 2019 Ram trucks and make no payment for 90 days. Over $10,000 in savings and no payments for 90 days at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Equipped with the nicest interior of any American vehicle today, the new 2019 Ram 1500 works great as a luxury vehicle or as a work truck. It has more towing capacity, more rear seat space, and luxury comfort. Ram Power Days brings savings over $10,000 and no payment for 90 days at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Plus tax, tag, title, and fees. Must finance through Grow Financial with approved credit. Stock number R9154. See dealer for complete details. Offer expires September 30th, 2019.
Come on, boy. Finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
272-9228, that's where we are. Mayor Todd Strange in the house. Spent the first little bit of time talking about the city election. What's your confidence level in the runoff?
In what direction? Whether it's going to be one?
No.
It will be one.
No, the confidence level in the results of it.
Yeah, I think...
And are you going to be involved in that anyway?
To the extent that Brenda Blalock, who's our city clerk, needs some assistance and needs some help. I hope I don't have to be, truthfully. I think the Secretary of State will. He's told me that they're going to be
See, you want to be a venue for Hamburger Night.
That's right, Hamburger Night, right. They're going to have some representatives from his office. I think the campaign representatives will be there. I have a high degree of confidence that the election will be
I think if you resolve the police issue and the police officers are trained and that Merrill is on the scene with his team, then my credibility of this whole thing will change completely. So we'll see what happens with that. Let's talk about the water park. How's that going?
We're making good progress. We are in the process of getting draft documents generated, land exchanges, memorandums of understanding. That's there are billable hours involved in this, and so I think we're shooting towards trying to get something in front of the city council. The goal would be for the first meeting in October, but the fallback position would be the second meeting in October, so that they would be able to approve those. Or really, it's not approved. They give me the authority to sign that, but obviously we got to know what's in the documents for them to give me that authority.
Where is Hilltop Hotel?
I wish I could give you a definitive answer. I am very disappointed and frustrated
is where I understand.
The president of Siscon has been in Korea. He got back, as I understand it, yesterday, and we are attempting to schedule a meeting with him to see where it is, because truthfully, if he is not intending to do that project, there are people standing in the wings ready to do that, ready and capable of doing that. But obviously, he owns the property. He bought the property. He's deconstructed the property. He's got it ready to construct. The plans have been submitted. The plans have been approved. And they're ready to go. And so, from that standpoint, except to the extent that he is not prepared to pull the trigger for whatever reason, is where we are. And we've been in that mode now for maybe as long as a year.
Let's go to the phones. Let's get some questions from the audience. Urban, you're on with Mayor Todd Strange.
Yeah, you answered the Hilltop question, but really you've been saying this for the last 6 months, what you're saying now. And if we can go back a second, are we sure on the count on the prime on the vote?
I'm as sure as I can be.
I mean, as far as
we don't have anything that would have us have probable cause, I think is the verbiage that you would have to go in and unseal the ballots. So there's been no request by either candidate to do that. There's no request from the Secretary of State or the...
There's no provision for a recount.
My understanding is that as well, too. I did not know that. Maybe I should have. But I would say this. Sometimes it's just the right thing to do. So if there was a very close election, since I believe in it, I'm going to say it, I think I'd go to a judge and say, hey, let's see about opening these up. We have to have probable cause. So there's no reason, as I sit here today, to think that every vote that got cast for candidate A did not get credited to candidate A. As I said, some
No, it's not really candidate A I'm worried about. I'm worried about candidate B, C, D, and E, who I frankly think should have scored better than candidate A.
Yeah.
But anyway, what are we doing about the bums? Are we still in the love of bum mode around here?
You're talking ahead. About the panhandling and the homelessness?
Oh, yeah, panhandling. That's what they're called them now.
Yeah. Well, the answer is we don't want panhandling to interfere with traffic and to violate the rights of those that they're panhandling. But the courts say pretty exclusively that panhandlers have rights, too. They've got a freedom of speech. So there's a balance, and we are working on an ordinance that hopefully will get the panhandlers away from the cars and the streets and things like that.
Hey, but at the same time,
be able to help those homeless that need help.
Well, here's the deal. It's like they've got it down to a science. I've literally seen bums tag in.
Oh, I know. Area. Absolutely. That's what we're trying to make sure that we don't allow to happen. And we have to do it, though, under the safety and security side of the equation. Because you cannot arrest somebody for just having a sign up to say food for eat or something like that. Because that does, in fact, according to the court proceedings, and cities have been paying anywhere from $500,000 to $500,000 in fines for that type of scenario. So at the end of the day, we're going to enforce safety and security, the rule of the road.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, everybody. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Tom. You're on with Mayor Todd Strange.
Hey, listen. Mr. Strange, I think you've done an excellent job up there.
Well, you can.
And my kudos to you. I would like to ask a question. The Woods guy that is running, what did he mean? Because mean by one thing, like little precincts, and I didn't know if you ever thought about that, because at least 75% of the crime up in Montgomery is, of course, black. What does those little things up there, that what he's talking about, like little precincts where they have them, like Smiley Court, Highland Homes, where, because I used to have an office up there, and I'd hire and train, and 80% of the kids that would come in my office, and I'd hire and train, I'd make sure they were dressed, shirt, tie, pants pulled up and everything, and some of them turned out real perfect. And but my question is, what does the precincts do that Mr. Woods is talking about? Would that help, or did you ever think about it? Because it seems like all these crossings over the bridge in Selma, even Selma Mayor, says they're having gang problems and murders. Walking across that bridge in Selma, coming to Montgomery, why don't they walk through these Highland Homes and these other places?
Tom, you're kind of rambling here, buddy.
Yeah, let me answer the precinct question.
Just answer my question about the precinct. Yeah.
Thank you. He's got it.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's just impossible to have a precinct in every neighborhood. And I told David Woods this. I said, watch what you're saying, because since I've been mayor, we've actually added five precincts, three of which I can count in what we would consider the west side of town. There's probably one area where we should look at putting a precinct as well as a fire station, and that's around that East Dale mall area. We've actually tried to put a police precinct inside the mall and thought maybe we would, but that sends kind of a wrong message, and ownership really didn't want to have that. So there's probably just one. We've got six or seven what we would call precinct, some as little as having five officers. But anytime you have a precinct, it's just like officers carrying cars home. their responsibility when they carry a marked car home is to park it on the street or park it in the driveway. Don't park it in your garage.
Yeah.
It's a presence of a police cruiser in the area. And so if you got, say, on Fairview Avenue right there at the Farmers Market just down from Court Street, we've got, 20 or so officers that would report there in a 24-hour period. So three or four cars might be there, or one car might be there if they're in there making a report. Same thing on the bypass next to the old Christmas house next to Alpha. We've got a presence there. We certainly know about it's more than a precinct. It's almost a substation there at the old mall at One Center. We got fire and police there. We got one downtown. As a matter of fact, some people say we got two downtown, but along the way. So just having a precinct on every corner is not the answer. As a matter of fact, there's an article that just came out that was relative to Montgomery, Alabama, specifically done by the Advertiser with some very competent third parties that says more officers is not the answer. Rather than putting more officers out, you ought to take that and put it into the social programs, the youth programs, that would raise them up properly. Now, there is a balance between that, because in our budget that just got passed yesterday by a 9-0 vote, first time since I've been here that's happened, you could go under that budget up to 535 officers. You haven't asked me the officer question, but for the first month in about 2 years, we've got a net plus, I think, of about 7 officers. And I think we've kind of turned the corner because we got another class.
So that
class,
puts us up at 485
or something. Okay. Yeah, 485 or something like that, okay. Yes. And so it's not about the precincts. It is about the society. And, again, nobody's going to believe me, but unequivocally, crime is down from 17 to 16, from 18 to 17, and year-to-date, from 19 to 18, half a year, it's down, and there's probably 650 less victims over that period of time.
Duke, hang on, going to a break. Coming back with Maritime Strange and you right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source, 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Hello, this is Yasmin Hosted with Beauty and Beyond. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for 10 years plus. If you would like to increase your business, use Blue Water Broadcasting radio stations. They get results.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump today naming Robert O'Brien as his fourth national security advisor, replacing John Bolton. O'Brien is with the president in California.
Got a number of challenges, but there's a great team in place with Secretary Pompeo and Secretary Esper, Secretary Mnuchin and others. I look forward to working with them and and working with the president to keep America safe.
O'Brien previously served as the president's chief hostage negotiator. President Trump says his administration is currently reviewing how it might respond to the weekend attack on a Saudi oil facility, which Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says Iran was responsible for.
We're in a very powerful position. Right now, we're in a very, very powerful position.
Iran denies any involvement and is warning the U.S. against any retaliatory strikes. The Federal Reserve has just announced it's lowering its benchmark interest rate a quarter point. America is listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at montgomerysubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Another very hot day today with a high temperature up to about 101. We should easily break the record high of 100. Rain chances are not zero, but under 20%. There's a backdoor cool front entering the state from Georgia. And, you know, could there be a stray shower somewhere along the front? I suppose. Tonight's low 72. Tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, a noticeable improvement with highs around 90, tolerable humidity levels, and lows at night in the mid-60s. You'll feel the difference. Still dry, though. Then low to mid-90s Sunday, mid-90s on Monday and Tuesday, dry. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
You trust us at ASE Credit Union, which is why we want to thank you for voting us the best credit union in Central Alabama's Reader's Choice Awards. We've been providing awesome products and personal service for our members for over 60 years. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are on a Wednesday. Mary Todd Strange in the house. Mary, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Duke, and then we'll get back into our conversation. Duke, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Mary Todd Strange.
Hello, how are you, Mayor Strange?
I did get that honorary degree, but I don't use that. But I'm very proud of the fact that Faulkner saw fit to honor me in that regard. Yeah, just a quick, and we'll get to you. Because of my name being Todd Robert, Todd R. Strange, it's Strange, comma, Todd R. And so people see it, they see doctor at the end. And so when I check into hotels or airlines,
hello, doctor.
Like that, hello, doctor, how you doing?
Did you have a brother named Ted Strange?
No, I didn't. I have no brother, sister.
I went to Floyd.
But I do know, I know of him from Prattville, I think it is.
Yeah, I went to Floyd with him.
Yeah, right.
I was going to ask you a question real quick about Urbanite talking about the bums. A friend of mine works with Sable Steel, and they get on his nerves terribly. Well, anyway, there was a mattress up under the interstate on Ann Street about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or so.
How about over the weekend? I saw it.
Yeah, well, he called, and they came and got it down, but I came back from the river today, and I got off the interstate, and there's another one up there.
Yeah.
And so I called him, and he was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
So I just want to let you know, maybe y'all, it makes the place, it already looks bad.
It trashes it up. Yeah, no question. Matt Morrow,
anyway,
who's my executive officer,
yes,
sitting next to me right now, that's almost a weekly, monthly routine.
Oh, okay.
He takes a group over there and, frankly, helps them move. Because at the end of the day, unless you're going to fence, which we actually did,
they tear down the fence
to get in there. At the end of the day, there's room for them in the end. There are beds available for individuals that want to have a place to sleep.
Yes.
That's not what they want. They want to be the homeless that's outside. And that's just their lifestyle.
We're gonna miss you, brother.
Well, you're kind. Thank you.
You
appreciate
take care
that.
Of yourself.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Duke. Do they feel that way when it's 15 degrees outside?
Well, they're not there. It's 15 degrees.
The Salvation Army opens their door and they put in some cots.
Let's
when
transition
it's convenient. That, but how about 101?
There you go. Yeah. Let's transition that to the Salvation Army. How is that deal going?
It's all about value. The appraisal for the piece of property that they're on the north side of Maxwell Boulevard is $2.5 million. Their piece, 2.5 acres on the south side, is, I think, $475,000. And so we've offered them 5.3.
Wow, 2.3 over, huh?
Yes, because we're treating this as an economic development project, 125 jobs, $50 million expenditure. And so there is a public purpose being utilized here. But... that was not satisfactory to them. As we talked about, Lieutenant Farrington and his wife, I think, are doing an admirable job here in the community. It is very top-heavy, management-oriented. In this particular financial transaction, the people out of Jackson, Mississippi, are, in fact, controlled. But we've had some great help from the local advisory board. Kathy Wright's on it. Judge Calvin Williams is on it. Nimrod Frazier, Jim Sherlock. There's some others, David Reed, George Cooper. They've been helping, and we are not too far away from, I think, having an agreement. We may even have an agreement in principle, but as you well know, getting it from the principle to the paper might be a bit more.
Let me make sure I understand the hierarchy here. Are you saying that the local board cannot make that decision solely?
The local board is strictly advisory. So, and they have been advising.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, they got to step up. Let me just tell you, at the end of the day, Birmingham built a new facility, and they raised a significant amount of money. Bigger facility, but they raised a significant amount of money, in the millions. Tuscaloosa did a comparable kind of facility, and they raised several hundred thousand, if not $1 million. In this transaction, the Salvation Army was trying to get a new building at a big number on a square foot basis that we didn't think was realistic. And so what we said was, hey, this is a realistic number. Let's talk a realistic number. Contractors said, hey, we'll take it every all day long at a certain number. And so what we said to them was, if you want to build the Taj Mahal, you guys have got to raise some local funds. And if you raise those local funds, then we will help you match those and pay those over some period of time. And so at the end of the day, we're there in principle, but we're trying to get it on paper so that everybody can look at it and say, yeah, that's what we agreed to.
When do you think that will happen?
As I indicated, maybe either on air or off air, we would like to get in a position to present some documentation to give the mayor the authority to sign either the first meeting in October or the second meeting in October.
Interesting. Let's talk about revenues. Tell me how revenues are doing.
I got to find some wood. Last month, revenues were up over 11%.
No!
Yeah, big time. It's pushed us up to...
Was that mainly because of hotel occupancy, or was that everything?
No, it's everything, but that's only sales tax. Now, hotel occupancy, let me...
Wait, so our sales tax were up 11%?
Sales tax was up 11%+, which made the whole year about 5.5%. Now, that's compared to on average over the last 5 years, 2.5%.
What do you attribute it to?
Well, we've got a lot of activity going on. There are a lot of people here. Now, if you remember, Equal Justice Initiative opened in April 26th, actually, of last year. Since then, Brian Stevenson will tell you 500,000 or 600,000 that have been here. And so in the hotel side of the equation, we immediately took a big jump, 15-20%. We are now competing for hotel occupancy against the new number in the May-June time frame, and we're up marginally, like 2%. But we're 2% on top of a 15%. But when people are here, they're spending money everywhere. restaurants and buying gifts and travel and gas and those kinds of deals. That's contributing, as well as we are experiencing a ton of conventions and sports activities and training and a myriad of things that bring people to Montgomery, Alabama. This Whitewater Park, if we can get them to stay one more night, that is worth millions of dollars to us. And it's a very attractive crowd that would have some money to spend. You got thousands, hundreds of thousands of cars. If we would just capture 2% of what's coming down that road, it's astounding what can happen. And so the answer to your question is, we're in the best financial shape that we've been, I'm going to tell you, 20 years. I really hadn't gone back longer, but in 20 years.
That's amazing.
Our debt is a high of about 330. We will close in 2 weeks in the 260, 265 range, and we put more debt on. The Trampton Bowl, soccer fields, even the taking on the debt of the recycling center, $30 million, we'll close there. And we'll probably close at a $26 million reserve. Now, is that enough? No. We probably need a good 15%, if not 20% reserve. But it's a whole lot better than it was at $3 million 10 years ago.
And you're at $25 million now?
25, 26, yes.
Okay.
With the close that we'll have.
So if you go higher than that, that changes our bond rating.
Not necessarily. If you just look at the arithmetic on bond ratings, we've got a split rating right now. We're AA on one and A on the other. They would love to see you in that 25% range. Those that are at that AAA level will be there. We are in the process, I think Barry told me, of having – we're not going to the bond market, but annually or maybe every year or two, they do a rating, a review, looking at the technicals.
Right.
And I think that's in process right now.
Interesting. That's an impressive number to be up 11% in sales tax.
Oh, I know, man. And, you know, we do knock on wood.
And so you attribute that to Buckmaster's and to Legacy.
Everything
you know,
that's coming down.
I go downtown, and I always take somebody who's visiting here on a tour downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing.
Well, it's also construction activities going on. When you got a $290 million construction project at Hyundai, which they didn't announce. We announced it. We thought it was pretty significant that they were going to have $292 million on top of a $380 million that we just had the grand opening 2 months ago. So that's close to $600 million in a couple of three-year period of time. That's a lot of money going through this economy. And all the hotels that's being constructed, the houses that's being constructed, the apartments that are being constructed, the residential things, the renovations at Bell Building and several others down there, that's feeding our economy right now.
And we haven't even gotten into the F-35 projects and things like that.
Well, we're beginning to. We've got a good conversation going right now with the data center that would like to come in here, because what they see over the next 5 years is a lot of government contracts coming in.
News on 93.1 FM, last segment coming up next.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACB.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACB.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. If you want to get your shots in, well, you better call.
You're talking figuratively.
Yes. With your executive officer sitting right next to me.
Get ready, Matt. Weapons drawn.
And you said Hyundai just announced the 300, what is it?
292 or something like that.
292.
It's really an engine modification. It's an important next step. As they march down the capacity levels, it's the newest engine that's out there.
How is the new gasoline tax? How are you liking that?
Well, we hadn't really seen it yet. It didn't start till September the 1st, I don't think, and so we hadn't really seen. But we like it a lot.
Just out of an operational thing, do you get the delivery of the money on a monthly basis?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a close of 30 days or close of the month?
It'll always be 30 days in arrear. See, what happens in September would get reported like the 20th of October.
Okay.
But we're expecting the estimated number that the league gave us was close to 900,000. I think they're off a bit. I think it'll be more in the $2 million, $3 million range based on our calculations, given the fact that we already get something.
Yeah, because you can look at your gas tax and just add.
So I think if I'm not mistaken, we put in $1.2 million in our budget for paving from those sources.
Excellent. Let's talk technology.
It'd be a $3 million paving project. So we put in $1.8 million from our sources, which we have a gas tax too. You know, what's really amazing is the week end that the 4 cents, I guess it was, it went in from the state, because it's going to take a couple of years to get to six. I looked, and when I went to the lake, I was going to my daughter's house, it was like 216. They put in 4 cents, and I came back, it was 211.
Yeah, I saw that. I noticed that myself.
So... What's the real gas tax in Montgomery? Or what's the real price of gas? You know, when you hear nationally, they talk about it being at $2.50, $2.60. They talk about Saudi losing half their oil producing capacity. Now they've gained it, half of it back, so they've only lost 25%. I hadn't seen the raise, but that would be kind of a 30-day delay because you got the strategic reserves and those kinds of deals. When we put in last year the 3 cents, and every cent's worth $1.2 million to us, when we put in 3 cents, the reason that I went ahead and did that, along with the city council, but I recommended it, was I rode the weekend. And the lowest I saw at that time was like 225, and the highest I saw was like 260. So...
Nothing like a market to drive things for you.
That's right.
See what they say at $3 a gallon here.
Well, then you're going to see, you get much above $3, then you're going to see the migration from the SUV truck back to the sedan. But at 250, even to 290, you're still going to see those SUVs, and that's 60% of the marketplace. And what's so important about Hyundai is they've got all of the SUVs being produced here, and they can take their 400,000 capacity and they can mix and match to the Santa Fe, the SUV, and the Elantra and the Sonata. That gives them a ton of flexibility, and you can do that on a dime.
GM would say they would have done that.
I'm just shocked at what's – have they settled the strike yet?
No.
I mean, look, go back 10 years, 7 years. What happened? What happened to GM?
Oh, yeah. They're on the dustbin.
Well, I guess they did make 15 or $16 billion. Dollars.
Yeah.
You know, but billions of them, like hundreds to us. I made $100 last month.
I like that. NewsHour 93.1 FM, Mayor Todd Strange in the house.
For 4 more minutes, so let's get on it.
Let's make it happen, as we say here. So on the policing, you were talking about the fact that more officers wouldn't necessarily help. I went back and saw that article that was out that day.
Well, let's take a couple of homicides that we had a week ago now, I guess. One was a domestic issue. The boyfriend started beating up on the girlfriend. Girlfriend pulls a knife, and he loses.
Yeah.
How many police officers could have stopped that? At 2 o'clock in the morning, there's a fraternity party at a location that's not a fraternity house. It's just a place that a guy that is in Montgomery leases out for parties. No permit, don't need a permit. And all of a sudden at 2 o'clock in the morning, alcohol and guns don't mix.
Yeah.
And so we end up with an unfortunate lady who's deceased. How many police officers could have stopped that? You can't have a police officer on every corner. Now, how quickly we got there? 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Wow. But in 30 seconds, they're in their
Somebody's
car
dead.
And they're gone.
Yeah.
We had a call coming in about Garrett Coliseum, what's going
okay.
on with that.
Okay, let's do it.
Or no, he called in just wondering if there's something going on with Garrett Coliseum.
You and I talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, Garrett Coliseum has been around a long time. State had it exclusively about 7 years ago. It got put into an authority of which the chairman of the county commission, I think the vice chairman, the mayor, the president of the city council, the governor, the finance director, the agriculture commission, we're all on this authority. And the state was putting in about $250,000 and local government was putting in, I think, $150,000. So $400,000 was helping that. The revenue streams were about $1.2 million with that. So let's just say the revenue stream, $800,000. Well, you can't use it in May, June, July, and August, and sometimes September. And so without air condition, you're just dead in the water. And so this year, the state chose not to fund the $250,000. So we were faced with some choices. We just let it go. You lose the rodeo. You lose the fair. You lose all those activities. That's $700,000, $800,000. And so there is a group that we're leading. Charlie Jenright is kind of at the forefront of this, is to get the state through this authority to give it to a structure that the city and the county would be responsible for, to give the state to give us some money, several million dollars, that we do a financing to put HVAC, seating, venue. It's going to be reported. We had conversations recently with a hockey team. Matter of fact, two hockey teams have come to us and said, hey, would Garrett Coliseum be?
Mayor, I hate to interrupt you, but you're going to be a replay, so I need to make sure I'm right on the button. I want to thank you for being here.
We're in process.
Excellent. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show.
Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and I keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Budell the Great, he's next. Adios.